Good morning, Oregon. Thanks once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated Newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com if you'd like to check it out. Today is kind of a special day because I've run to the end of my backlist, which means I'm starting over from the bottom of it again. If you've been listening to these episodes since I first started doing them about a year ago, you have listened to everything in my inventory, all 180-some episodes. So here's how I'm going to do this going forward. Each day of the week is going to correspond to a different year of production. I have articles from 2009, 2010, 2011, and of course, 2012. So on Mondays, I'm going to read from 2011, Tuesdays, 2009, Wednesdays, 2010. Thursdays are going to be a flexible day where I'll tuck something in from wherever. I'm going to leave that open. Maybe I'll start a history news service and report on what's going on around the state. But I'll leave that one open. And then on Friday, every Friday, you'll get the hot off the press most recent column. So that's basically going to start this week. And so I'm starting off this week with my 2011 column right now, which is the one about Bobby the Wonder Dog. Now, Silverton is my hometown, although I was only 9 months old when we moved away, so I have a kind of a special place in my heart for that town. It's also where I started my career as a journalist at the Silverton Appeal Tribune. And Bobby the Wonder Dog was one of the first stories I learned from fellow reporter Jeff Breckus, quite a local historian in his own right, by the way, upon my return to Silverton way back in 1991. It's the story of this affable collie, Scotch Collie, who was left on the wrong side of the Rocky Mountains and made his way home on foot. It's kind of an interesting story, too, because there's a lot of misinformation about it. Many accounts of the story include stories that he walked home on stumpy bones of his feet, that he had worn the flesh off the pads of his feet, which is just crazy. But we'll talk about that in a minute here. So my Bobby the Wonder Dog story was first published in January 2nd, 2011, under the headline Bobby the Wonder Dog's 2,500-mile odyssey put Silverton on the map. Here we go. The town of Silverton, nestled at the edge of the foothills of the Cascades east of Salem, has been home to some notably famous personalities, including muckraking cartoonist Homer Davenport and movie star Clark Gable. But the town's most famous scion is probably a dog named Bobby. Bobby was a young Scotch Collie mix who lived with the family of Frank and Elizabeth Brazier, owners of a popular Silverton restaurant called the Rio Cafe. Well, in the summer of 1923, Frank and Elizabeth packed up their Overland Red Bird touring car and headed east for a visit to Indiana. And of course, Bobby went with them, perched proudly atop a pile of luggage in the back seat or else riding jauntily on a running board. They were almost to their destination when it happened. Frank was gassing up the Redbird when a pack of local mongrels jumped Bobby. The last Frank saw of Bobby that day, he was running for his life with three snarling dogs in hot pursuit. At the time, Frank wasn't too worried. Bobby, he thought, could take care of himself, and he'd be waiting back at the house where the Braziers were staying. But he wasn't. The Braziers started searching. They called around town, advertised in local newspapers, did some driving around. Still no Bobby. So leaving instructions to hang on to him if he reappeared, they continued their trip. They'd pick him up on the way back home, they figured. They figured wrong. Bobby still wasn't around on their return. So regretfully, the Braziers continued on their way, leaving instructions to send him home on a rail car at their expense if he should turn up, hoping for the best, but fearing the worst. Exactly 6 months later, one of Elizabeth Brazier's daughters from a previous marriage, Nova Baumgarten, was walking down a Silverton street with a friend when she suddenly sees the other girl's arm. "Oh, look, isn't that Bobby?" she said, or words to that effect. Sure enough, it was Bobby, sore of foot, matted of coat, his toenails worn down to nothing. Bobby had logged more than 2,500 miles, probably well over 3,000. Swimming rivers and crossing the Continental Divide in the dead of winter to get back home to Silverton. Nova brought Bobby to the Rio for a joyful reunion with her mother and stepfather and a luxurious meal of sirloin steak and whipping cream. The place was packed with mill workers, possibly including Clark Gable, who had not yet been discovered and was working a shift at a Silverton sawmill at the time. And it was a matter of hours before word of Bobby's amazing journey was on everyone's lips all over town. Within a week, the story was making national headlines. Friendly people with whom Bobby had stayed for a night or two on his journey rode in to tell their stories. Putting all of this together, the Humane Society of Portland was able to piece together a surprisingly precise account of the route Bobby took. After coming back to Walcott and finding the braziers gone, Bobby first followed them northeast, further into Indiana. Then he started striking out on what must have been exploratory journeys in various directions, perhaps trying to pick up a familiar scent to give him a sense of the direction to take. Eventually, he found what he was looking for and struck out for the West Coast. On their trip, the braziers had left their car in service stations each night. Bobby visited each of these on the way, along with a number of private homes. He also spent some time in a hobo camp. In Portland, he stayed for some time with an Irish woman who nursed him back to health after some sort of accident left his legs and paws gashed up. As a side note, this injury is probably the source of the allegation that Bobby's paws were, quote, worn down to the bone on his return, a physiologically impossible claim not made in any of the 1924 newspaper articles I found, but prominent in most modern accounts. About 2 weeks later, Bobby was back in Silverton. After the joyful reunion, the collie's life got a lot more exciting. The Humane Society gave him a medal in a sober ceremony in Portland. Silverton gave him the key to the city, along with a special permission to walk its streets without fear from the municipal dog catcher. Correspondence poured in, addressed to Bobby the Wonder Dog. He was honored as the star of the Home Beautifying Exposition in Portland just a few months after his return, and a miniature bungalow was built to serve as his doghouse. Alas, Bobby had not much time to enjoy these perks. He died in 1927 after getting sick. Doctors suggested it was the strain of his journey catching up with him. He was buried at the Humane Society's Pet Cemetery in Portland. Rin Tin Tin, the first movie star dog of that name, was actually coached to place a wreath on his grave. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to the audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and also to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. The website is also where you'll find full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode include books by Ralph Friedman and Judith Kent, along with newspaper articles in the Silverton Peel and Portland Morning Oregonian, and the website silvertonbobby.com. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. That's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.